This United States, over 200 years old, has faced many different kind of crises since it was born in 1776 as an independence. We've had many crises of war throughout the history of this small, young country outside of other countries around the world. We've had wars at home and wars abroad. This country went through what they call the Great Depression, when there was people lined up to get soup at soup lines. This country has went through great plagues of sickness, of polio, smallpox, and other dreaded disease. This country has been through many, many crises in the young life that God has given this country. We are facing the greatest crisis this country has ever faced. It's the war on terrorists. But I'm not just talking about the Muslim. I'm talking about anyone who would do this country harm. And a lot of them lives here in this country. It's called the United States of America. Thank the Lord for the troops that the day is honoring them. It's kept this country free. And many of those troops are buried in foreign lands. The cemetery reaches for miles of the fallen soldiers that give their life that you set here this morning. And we're not afraid to worship Jesus because someone might come in with machine guns and kill us because we stand for Jesus Christ. But the freedom that we have to worship and serve a true God and have the freedom to worship, many, many people have gave their life. Forefathers, we want to thank each one of the families. For those families, it's called the fallen soldier that they sung about. As we look today around the world, how God has blessed us and how that we have this freedom, but I'm afraid that all the soldiers and all the great gifts that one has given of their life to make this country free, that we're here in this homeland and we're giving our freedom away each day and each year. By the way that we vote, by our greed, and our disregard to the one that made this country great, which is God. We are facing a great crisis in our country. I believe that we in America, I do believe this is the last generation in America that we're living today. Not that this country might go on as a nation, not that the United States won't still be called the United States, but I believe we're living in the last generation as we know it. As a United States of America with the freedom to worship and the freedom that we've had in the past over 200 years, I believe that we're living in the last generation. Because of the crisis that we're facing is the crisis of a spiritual crisis. We have forgot God in our country. This saddens me to the deepest of my understanding of the Word of God, because we have left God out of our country, and all we have to do is just look around. We don't have to look around at Washington. We don't have to look around at the president. All you have to do is look around at your homes and our churches and our counties and our communities and see that how we have forgotten God. If this day would mean anything to our country, they should not be seating room for the people that gathered around this country and our community. To pay back respects for those that went on to be with the Lord fighting for the cause. But I say we have no time now for God. So let me read these verses of scriptures. What's true for the nation Israel? It's true for the United States. It's true for each individual this day. And it says, righteousness exalts a nation. You think about that for a moment. Righteousness exalts a nation, and I'll speak on that. Because the reason that we're here today and the reason we have a great nation, because of righteousness, is not your righteousness and not my righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Psalms 33 and 12 says, blessed is the nation whom God is the Lord, and the people whom he have chosen for his own inheritance. Let us pray. Jesus, we want to thank you this day for the cause that we worship in you and honor you today on this Memorial Day. The how that, Lord, that you have led our nation throughout the years, and how that you have kept us free. And we honor the military men and women, the falling soldiers that kept us free and keeping us free this hour as we hear worshiping you. Father, it should sadden all of our hearts to know what you have done for this country and how, Lord, that we're so ungrateful. We're so disrespectful for the Lord, the God Almighty, that we should honor and praise this day. All we can say is forgive us, Lord. Help us. Most of all, have mercy upon this nation. And these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Solomon, according to the Bible, was the wisest man that ever lived. He came to rule the nation of Israel. God says, Solomon, I want you to rule my people, and I'll just give you anything you want. What do you want, Solomon? Now, here's a blank check, Solomon. Anything that you'd like to have, I would just like to give it to you, Solomon. This is God speaking to Solomon. He could ask for riches. He could ask for power. He could ask for more territory. But Solomon asked for the wisdom of God to lead that nation. And because he asked for the wisdom of God, God gave him more wealth than any man has ever known. Gave him more influence around the world than any nation has ever known at that time. But he also gave him the wisdom to lead that nation. And the greatest kingdom that world had ever known is the kingdom whenever Solomon ruled the nation Israel. The same reason that we have been number one, the same reason that we have this nation today, because of the wisdom that mankind had asked God for when they settled on the shores of our country. You see, they settled on the shores of South America and they were seeking gold. But the people coming to the North America, they settled on our shore, they were seeking God. And since they were seeking God, God says, I'll give you the gold. Our country, this United States, only lives 5% of the population of the world lives in the United States. We have 50% of the wealth of the world in this country. The poorest people in this country is rich compared to some nations and some people. Ecuador, where Sarah left this morning and prayed for a mission trip. Mexico, Peru, Africa, India, and several other nations. God has richly blessed this country. Because of the wisdom that our forefathers asked for to lead this country, and not for greed, but to lead this country. The great distinction that the United States of America upon all nations of the world is because of God. And it says, the righteousness exalt a nation. Why have we been number one throughout the years? This little small nation in a lot of countries is 10 times, 50 times bigger than this little small nation, but yet we're number one. Why are we number one? Because it said the righteous exalts a nation. That word exalt, it means to lift up high on a platform, to make visible. That's what God has done. He's lifted this nation up. He's made us visible upon all other nations of this world. He's lifted us up. Why? Because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our forefathers. For many years, we have sought the righteousness of Jesus Christ in this country. No matter what they try to tell you in our secular school system today, that this country was founded on Jesus Christ and the Word of God. But today, they want to take away all of our history that this world was founded, this country was founded on, and say, you know what, it was just a happenstance. No other nation in this world has ever come close to the blessing and prosperity that God has laid upon this nation. Have not even come close. The great rich oil nations of this world don't come close to the prosperity that God has given this nation. I know that you can't say that in some places, but God has blessed this nation. And the United States have enjoyed God's prosperity. I want to say it once again. The United States, you and I have enjoyed God's prosperity. It was God. God has prospered the United States because God exalted this nation and lifted this nation up. Why? Because we exalted God and we lifted Him up. It's a sad time to think that in our country that you and I, most of the people here that's my age or older, we had a chance in school that when our teacher would open up the Bible and they would read us Bible stories and we'd have a prayer. And each morning they'd pray. It isn't a far cry now from what we have in our world today, in our system today, in our school system. Why? Because people have went to sleep on God. Our missionaries, one of the reasons that God has lifted us up because of missionaries that we have sent around the world throughout the hundreds of years, that we have sent missionaries to other parts of the country because of Jesus Christ and lift up Jesus Christ. And reason we have been lifted up because all other nations of the world has been blessed because of this nation also, because of what we have give back. The lifestyle of lifting up Jesus Christ. We have enjoyed God's prosperity. We have enjoyed God's protection. In Psalm 32, 7 and 8, it says, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the ways which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eyes. That's what God done to this country. God has protected us. And I'm going to tell you, God has hid us from other nations. Do you think that we are that strong? You think it's because of our wisdom? Do you think because of what we are that we have been the great nation? It's because of what God is. And God has protected us. He's talking here about the nation of Israel in these Psalms. But these scriptures fit the United States and they fit each individual today that we're living in. God has protected the United States. We won our Declaration of Independence from Great Britain. At that time, Great Britain was a strong and mighty nation. But you know that what God used, a little colonies around the coast of the eastern coast of our country, a ragtag army, they call it. They was made up of farmers, merchants, and just a very few military weapons as rifles. And yet God allowed them to win the war of independence upon the greatest nation at that time in war. Just because of God. Because of God. But then this country went through the time of division. It's called the Civil War. When this country was divided more than any time except the day that you and I are living today, and it's divided today. But God, that Civil War was with this country. And you know, God brought this country and repaired this country and brought this country back and equipped this country. We was drawn into World War I. Mothers and fathers had to be left as they got on ships in World War II and they went to foreign lands. We ought to be able to see it with our eyes this morning. As fathers would tell their wives goodbye, maybe they'd have to pull the arms of their little ones away from their neck as they had to say, "Son, I'll see you later. I'm going for a great cause that you'll have a better life than I've had. And you'll have freedom right on." Many of those fathers, many of those husbands, many of those grandfathers didn't come back. But they believed that their children and their grandchildren would have the freedom that keeps ringing out in the hearts of God's people. Pearl Harbor. God was with our country. There was a day called Normandy Beach. And the Allied forces of many hundreds and thousands and millions of people was ready to invade Normandy to set the people free. You read the history, there was a great fog where they could not see and they could not enter into the Normandy beach because of the great fog. They could not see and they were set there still. The Allied army could not move. The United States could not move. They could not move against the great enemy at that time. This was not a happenstance. God lifted the fog. They could see where they was going. And the Allied troops poured into Normandy to set that country free. Because the righteous exalt a nation. The Soviet Union many years ago put in to take over the world. And to make communism the world power. This little small country fought against communism through all the wars we fought with them. And I'm here to tell you that the United States succeeded because the righteous of a nation exalt that nation was lifted up. And the United States was, the Soviet Union was defeated of communism, of taking over the world. America have enjoyed God's prosperity. America have enjoyed God's protection. America have enjoyed God's power. Because you see, it was not our power that won these wars. It was God's power. He says, exalt, triumph over our enemies. And God saw to that. But they have something changed in our country. Because the rest of that scripture, it says, righteous exalts a nation. But there's something has changed in the last few years since the early 60s and today that you and I are living at a fast rate. And that something has changed. There's a war going on today. In that psalm, it says, sin is a reproach to any people. We see now America's deterioration because of sin. Reproach, it means to bring down. Exalt means to bring up. And it says to reproach, it means to bring down. And there's a list of sins. It seemed like that God has listed in the Word of God and says, read it out to America. The sins of America that brought America low. Romans 1 and 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their fool hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's the country that we're living in this day, deterioration of it, because they were unthankful. This country is very unthankful for what God's done for this country. Very, very unthankful. Been ungrateful to God. As I said, look at our churches today. Look at people that names the name of Jesus Christ. That say, I know that I'm saved. After 9/11, Church attendance grew for a little while. Prayers were offered up, but it's short-lived. It's down again. Attendance are down. Baptism down. Offerings is down. Giving's down. Visitation's down. Commitment's down. Ecclesiastes 3, it says there's a time to weep. If there ever been a time to weep, it ought to be a time whenever God's people, if you're a born-again child of God this day, you ought to be weeping. Read the list, he said in Romans. Read the list of our sins. Romans 1 and 26, for this cause God gave you up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of woman, burning in their lust of one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their errors which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient. Read the list. Disgrace and ungratefulness today. 2 Timothy, it says in 3, men shall be lovers of their own self, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Read the list. He lists them out for us. Preacher, you ought not to talk like that. I'm not talking, God's talking. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Let there be some type of recreation on a Sunday. Let it be ball or sports or anything and see where people's at. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of self. Read the list. The crying time. The nation of Israel was a crying time for the nation of Israel. In Psalms 137, verses 1 through 4, when the nation of Israel had done what this nation have done, God carried them away into captivity under the Assyrian Empire and kept them there for 70 years because they have left God out as we have left God out. Now, you think that God is going to spare America if we do the same thing the nation Israel? We are already under God's wrath. We are forcing God to judge this nation, and yet we are asleep. It says, read the list. In Psalms 137, the nation of Israel done what this nation has done. And there they was in a foreign land of Babylon, the other half of the nation. It says, the river of Babylon, they're set down. We wept when we remembered Zion. That's remembered Jerusalem. You know, the day that we ought to be weeping, because we should remember what God has done for this country and how God has blessed this country and how that even in, like I said, in our school system today, that you and I, what we can remember, we ought to be crying this day. The revivals that we've had across this nation of our land, we ought to be crying whenever we remember the revivals across this nation. Did you know that you can't have a 5-day revival anymore in Baptist churches? Oh, you can have 5-day meetings, but I'm going to tell you, Friday, there ain't nobody going to be there much. Preacher, don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. I was there. I remember one time I was there for 5 days. I'm going to tell you, we can call for revival. And I'll tell you what, there are a lot of God's people, the members of whatever church it might be, that will not be there on revival. Whew, that's bad stuff. Well, you can fire them if you want to. Well, we ought to be weeping when we remember what God has done, even in this church. We ought to be weeping. We sat down, we wept when we remembered. They said, we hang our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us captive required of us a song, and they wasted and required a mire of us, singing, he says, one of those songs of Zion. He says, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I want to tell you what, the day that we are living in a strange land. This is not the land that I grew up in. This is not the country that I can remember my forefathers fought for. This is not the country that that flag hangs for throughout the past we've had. This is a strange land that we're living in today. It's a strange land when a little child in school can't bow their head and say, the Lord is good. Let me thank Him for the food. It's a strange land in a ball team whenever they can't stand up and pray. It's a strange land. Anything that we have in our country that you can't say thank you, God, or a cross somewhere or another. It's a strange land when they can't have the Ten Commandments put on the walls, a courthouse, or in the square, or have a nativity scene. We're living in a strange land today. A strange land. And I tell you, we ought to be weeping today. Because we live, and how could we sing these great songs? The nation Israel was a great singers, and all the psalms of this book here called the Bible were songs, Hebrew songs, and they sung these songs. But how could we sing? How could we sing today the songs of Zion? How could we sing the glory songs whenever we're in a strange land? They couldn't sing, and I'll tell you, we can't sing either because we're in a strange land. The nation Israel, they understood because they had left their God and went after other gods. The nation Israel at that time, they had other gods. And God says, I'll cure you from other gods. And I want to tell you, when they went away into Syria, they went away into Babylon, you remember Daniel and three Hebrew children, and they carried the nation of Israel away. They never again. He carried them right where the hot spot, right where the center of all these idols was. Did you know when the nation of Israel returned back in Nehemiah's days, for even to this day they have never, never, ever again worshipped what they call these gods of idols of woods and stone. But not America. We are the most pagan nation, I believe, in the world. I'm going to tell you, people, this day is called Sunday, God's day, that we should be worshiping Him. They are worshiping all types of idols this day. There are idols all over the place. All types of idols this day. Ah, oh, God's children is in a strange land. And the cry because they was in bondage. Well, I want to tell you what, this country is in great bondage also. We are in great bondage. We are in bondage of debt in this country. The richest country has ever been in the world. We are in debt in this country. Thank you, Mr. President, and all those liberal people that think you can give everything away and don't expect nothing back. There comes an end to that time. And we have reached our end in our country. We are in debt. China owns this country. China owns this country. We are in debt. We ought to be crying because we're in debt. We ought to be crying because we are in doubt. And that doubt is, I doubt that we got anybody up there in Washington, D.C. that knows the answer. You put all of them side by side, they can't let them reach a conclusion of what's wrong in this country. We are in doubt that we'll ever get out of what we're in this day. I'm in doubt this day of this country. And I should be crying because the debt and the doubt that we have for this country that I love so dear. But not only that, we ought to be crying because of the division that we have in this country. This thing that squats upon our country, I don't care who likes him, I'm going to tell you what he is. He is a divider of this country. And this country has never been more divided than it is right now since we had our great war. It's called the Civil War. I'm in doubt. Depravity of our nation. Jesus came and paid the price to set us free, but you see, we have allowed other gods to bring us back into bondage. How can we sing the song of freedom? How can we sing as Isaiah, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and they come with singing unto Zion. You know, we should be celebrating today, celebrating revival, respond to the challenge that God has given us. Do you think it's too late for this nation? No, I don't think it's too late for this nation. You think we can have revival here in this church? Yes, I think we can have revival. I can have revival and you can have revival. We have to open our eyes to the challenge that God gave us and celebrate what God can do for us already, because He can do it. He's brought us back in all these other crises that I mentioned, and He can bring us back in this crisis also. If we just understand the challenge He set before us in America today. America has been dishonored. Exalted, been raised up. It says sin is reproach. I tell you, America has been brought low. United States has been brought low before the nations of the world. I can tell you, Mr. President, the Muslim world do not like us. They do not like us. They do not respect America around the world anymore. Why? Because we've been brought low. Why? Because the sin of America is the reason they don't respect us. And our missionaries are having a bad time to represent Jesus Christ when they look back at the circle world that we're living in this day. If it says in 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, he says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. He's ready and he's willing to heal our land. And I want to tell you to start with all the love I got in my heart, it's not what's wrong with America. It's what's wrong with God's people. It's what's wrong with God's people. You see, but America was dedicated to God of our forefathers. It was dedicated to God with our forefathers when this nation became a nation. Christian principles, Judeo-Christian ethics, that means you know the teaching of the Word of God, if you don't know what that means, upon this nation. Righteous exalts a nation, but sin is reproach to a nation. Righteous was involved in the founding of this nation. But the meaning of righteousness, not because we are righteous, not because of the people of the United States is righteous, because you cannot earn righteousness. And you do not deserve righteousness. Righteousness is a gift of Jesus Christ to this nation. If you're here this morning and you've truly been born again, I'm not talking about a church member. They have tried church. They have tried the cause of Jesus Christ. They have never tried Jesus Christ. And I tell you, if you try Jesus Christ, it'll take care of your commitment to the church of God and the people of God and the things of God if people saved and they try Jesus. I'll tell you that we do not deserve righteousness, but if you're saved this day, I'm going to tell you, God imputed His righteousness to you. It's His righteousness. And the reason that he says that righteous exalt a nation, and we are a righteous nation, not because of how good we are, because that we lift up Jesus Christ. That's where the righteousness of this nation come from, Jesus. And that's the reason that we were called a righteous nation. The meaning of righteous, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus came for the sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God. Do you look very righteous this morning? I want to tell you, if you're under the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a righteous person this morning. And you did not earn that. You didn't get righteous because you are a good person. You did not get righteous because you attend church 3 times a week and tithe. That's not the way you attain righteousness. You attain righteousness by a gift. It's a gift. God gave this country a gift. And that gift was the gift of righteousness because of Jesus. And that's the reason we've been exalted. That's the reason He lifts us up, because of His righteousness. The measure of righteousness, Psalm 119, 142 says, the righteous is an everlasting righteousness, and the law is the truth. God's righteousness never changes. Thank the Lord. The day that we're being taught all over the place that there's no absolute. You do what you think's right in your own eyes, as the nation Israel did in the day of Judges. But I'll tell you, God's truth never changes. God's righteousness never changes. God's standard never changes. I want to tell you what God says. Sodom and Gomorrah, I will destroy that city for the abomination of homosexuality, and He's destroyed that city. And do you think He's going to let people stand up there and say, it's all right to have any type of marriage life you want to man, woman to woman, and you think that God is going to put up with that in this country? God's standards never change. Our society might change, but I'm going to tell you what, God's laws never change. God's righteousness never change. The righteousness of a nation builds a nation up, but the sin of a nation tears a nation down. The maintenance of righteousness. And I want to tell you, as I said, we in the last generation, I believe, but every generation must maintain the righteousness of that nation. Every generation must maintain the righteousness of this nation. Because you see, a lot of people have done gone on and be with the Lord now. It's not their time, it's your time, and it's my time. It's my time to show my family the importance of serving Jesus Christ. There's an appointed time when we should be at the house of God. There's an appointed time when we should do what God tells us to do in His Word. Where is God's people at? Deuteronomy 4 and 5 says, "Behold, I have taught you these statutes and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who God so high, so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call him upon him? And what nation is there so great that thou hast statutes and judgment so righteous as all the laws which I set before you this day?" Talking to the nation of Israel, don't that sound like he's talking to us today? He is talking to us today. Blessed is a nation who God is Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. If this nation means strong, and number one, it's because that we lift up Jesus Christ and we bring God back into our lives, into our country, to our nation, to our churches, to our family, most of all to each one of us. If God has spoken to you this hour, a song of invitation that we come this hour, lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank God this day for the blessing he has already blessed on this nation. I want to thank God for all the people that's died in service to make this a great nation, that he's been with us so many, many years. And I want to thank God for he's willing to do more than he's ever done in the past. He's willing to do that in the future if we just only allow God to work in our life. If we just only allow God to be the God he wants to be in our nation this day. Thank you for listening to this old preacher this morning. I want to thank you in the name of Jesus as we stand on invitation.